Amen. That was a good song. I love it. What a blessing. Thank you, Brother Don. And appreciate Brother Pickenpaul, all the work he does, working with the choir, the ensemble, our music, and working a full-time job. Well, it's kind of full-time. 60, 70 hours a week, something like that. So I guess that's full-time. But appreciate all the work he does. And, boy, just the music always first class, and I appreciate that. Nehemiah chapter 7 and verse 1. We continue on in the book of Nehemiah, and I love it. In chapter 7, it says, "It came to pass when the wall was built," and what an exciting time that was. And so we pick up here Nehemiah 7 and verse 1, page 826 in your super giant print King James Bible, and just to kind of help you out. That'll be good. The fellows were getting their Bibles a while ago, and of course those are Ryrie Study Bibles, very nice Bibles that Brother Pearson gives out, and that is such a blessing. Zach said to me, came over and said to me, said, "Boy, this is so special." He said, "I'm never taking it out of the box." But I see he changed his mind. He went ahead and got it out of the box, and go ahead and read it. It's, you know, don't put it on a shelf somewhere. But I know he will. I'm just giving him a hard time because no one else ever does. All right, verse 1. "Now it came to pass when the wall was built and I had set up the doors and the porters and the singers and the Levites were appointed, that I gave my brother Hanani and Hananiah, the ruler of the palace, charge over Jerusalem. For he was a faithful man and feared God above many. And I said unto them, Let not the gates of Jerusalem be opened until the sun be hot. And while they stand by, let them shut the doors and bar them, and appoint watches of the inhabitants of Jerusalem, every one in his watch, and every one to be over against his house. Now the city was large and great, but the people were few therein, and the houses were not builded." And Father, I pray you bless the preaching tonight. I thank you, Lord, for what we've learned in the book of Nehemiah. And I pray that you will continue to teach us and guide us, and Lord, help us to see it how you intended for us to, and may the words change our life, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 4 is kind of interesting. We'll end with this, obviously, as we go through this passage. But the city was large and great, it says. And, of course, obviously the wall surrounds the city. It's huge. It's a huge area. And the city was large and great, but it says the people were few therein. Ties in with what the ensemble just sang about. Just go get them one by one. Amen. We got to fill it up. And the walls are built. Everything's ready. But the people are few. And there's more people out there, more people to bring in. I'm excited. Brother Chase said he spent the afternoon getting ready for the Spanish ministries, printing up all these flyers. And if you call Brother Chase, in fact, several people are now calling him just to hear his answering machine. But or his voicemail, I guess it's called. Whatever you call it nowadays. Anyway, they call him up just to hear him, and he gets on there and starts speaking Spanish. And I thought, when I called him and I started hearing porque quiero invitar a ti a mi fiesta. Anyway, he didn't really say that, but that's all I know. But I hear him saying that, and I said, "Brother Chase, it's the pastor, Brother Chase." I thought he's kidding around. I thought he knew it was me, and he's, you know, and he just keeps going. You know, tengo que hablar con el director de la escuela. And he just keeps going. You're impressed, aren't you? Except for those who know Spanish, you're not that impressed. And he just, you know, because he's telling them all about the Spanish ministry starting and everything. And he's excited. And I'm excited about it. I think it's going to be great. And he's terrified. And I love that. And because that's the way you start a ministry. That's how you do any ministry. You ought to be scared to death. So scared you get on your knees weeks and weeks and weeks ahead and beg God for his help. And you know, if God's not in it, we ought not do it. That would be a bus route. That would be a Sunday school class. That would be a Spanish ministry. That'd be a church. That'd be anything. If God's not in it, if you're a teacher in a school in our Christian school, hey, you know what? If God's not in it, you ought to resign. We need God to be in it. And anyway, it's not the message, but it all makes for good preaching. But the wall was built, and the city was great, and the people were few. So let's fill that thing up. Amen. And there's a lot of room in here, too. Amen. A lot of room on the property. And we can just keep filling up rooms. And we need to do that. And that is exciting. So the wall is built. And here we have just a great passage after the wall is built. And I'll do a little review as we go to Roman numeral 1. That is the wall. The wall. And the wall, it says, is built. And in light of last week, thank God the wall was built. Verses 17 to 19, we talked about how Tobiah, he was one of the enemies of the wall. He didn't want the wall to be built. He doesn't want that wall to keep him out. He doesn't want his teaching kept out. Sanballat, Tobiah, Geshem, they didn't want the wall to be built. They wanted the people to continue to mingle with the heathen. It weakens them. By the way, as you mingle with the heathen, it weakens you too. And, you know, you can think whatever you want. You can say, well, you know, I'm doing great and I'm influencing them. Truth of the matter is they influence you. And we need to tell them about Jesus. We need to go to them and bring them into church and talk to them about the Lord. But we don't need to do the things they do. And because it weakens us. And so verses 17 to 19 talked about last week. The nobles and how that they were involved in with Tobiah and everything. But now the wall is built. The door's up. Everything is set. And I want to remind you, those walls, I believe, represent separation. I believe they represent the thou shalt and the thou shalt nots in the Bible. I believe they represent the right and wrong, light and dark. And that wall is the spot right there. The wall is the protection. The wall keeps me from crossing into what's wrong. Now again, I can climb the wall. Oh, don't misunderstand me. I can climb the wall. I can dig under the wall. Don't get me wrong. You know, we all have our free will. But thank God that wall's there. And if I do climb over the wall and go to the other side and mess around over there for a while, at least I know that I had to climb the wall to do it. At least I know that, you know, somebody preached against it. At least I know that somebody counseled me that that's not the right thing. And at least I know that wall's back there. I can always go back. There's a lot of good stuff about these walls. And, you know, the truth of the matter is people don't like to talk about separation, but it protects us. It helps us. You know, the words, thou shalt not steal, that protects me. Thou shalt not steal protects me. By the way, it protects two people. First of all, it protects the victim. You know, I'm so glad there are laws that say thou shalt not steal. If there was no law, thou shalt not steal, do you understand that if you have anything, somebody's going to steal it? Hello. That is true. I mean, that rule, that law, that wall, that blockade there, if you will, that protects you from being a victim. By the way, it also protects the thief. Because if there were no law, thou shalt not steal, then there are many, many people in this church I know that if you tried to break in their house and steal, it wouldn't be a good experience for you. Now, I'm just, you know, honestly, that is the truth. Well, I'm just telling you. And by the way, that's how it was in Old Testament time, too. And that's why, you know, God says there's got to be some thou shalt and thou shalt not. And those are like these walls. They are there to protect us. They are there to distinguish that there is right and there is wrong. They are there to show a dividing line that, you know, there aren't any gray areas. There's just this big old wall. Amen? And they are there for protection. In the Old Testament, a leper had to yell out, unclean. Why? To protect other people. They had to say, I am unclean. And as soon as, for example, if a leper came into this room, and if this were Old Testament time, and one came to that door right there, opened the door and said, leper, unclean, people would get out of the way. I mean, folks would take off. Why? We'd get away from that. Why? Because you don't want leprosy. By the way, that was the law. You know, today, oh my, would we have all kinds of problems. By the way, if a leper started to walk in that door and the leper didn't say anything, Brother Kelvin would have to yell, unclean, unclean. But you know, he wouldn't want to hurt anybody's feelings. He and his family would just quietly slip out. And then Brother Tim would say, unclean, unclean. No, no, he wouldn't want to hurt anybody's feelings either. He'd just quietly slip out too, you know. If our heads were bowed and our eyes were closed, nobody was looking, the leper could just go to everybody. And you know, every now and then, Steve Shaw would look up and he'd see the leper and he'd say, well, I don't want to hurt his feelings. And he'd just quietly slip out. Somebody better shout unclean. Somebody, and in Old Testament time, that's exactly what you had to do. And that leper would be in trouble for even coming into a place where people are not infected with leprosy. But I'm just saying, those things are for protection. You know, again, the world, they say unclean. The world does not try to hide the uncleanliness of their lifestyle. I mean, you know, homosexuality, it's out in the open now. AIDS is out in the open too. You know, promiscuity is out in the open now. I mean, sex is everywhere. By the way, so is AIDS. So are other diseases. So are unwanted babies. So is abortion. It's all out in the open too. I mean, you know, it's not, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to see that the world has said, hey, here's what we are. I mean, the rock stars have said what they are. They've made it very, very clear. And so, you know, they're all saying it, but we just, you know, well, I don't want to offend him. Somebody better yell unclean. And, you know, Hollywood has been shouting that they're unclean for years. I mean, the more sex, the more cussing and swearing, the more garbage that comes on. Come on. I mean, they are saying to you, they put it on the show. You know, they say, Will contains dialogue about this and this and this, and we don't even pay any attention to it. It's like they're saying unclean. They're telling you this isn't fit for your children. And yet, again, we're ignoring the wall that we should have. Build walls based on the Bible. Walls protect us. You need to think about that in your own life. I've had to do that in my own life. A good example, the Bible says it's good for a man not to touch a woman. Good for a man not to, and you know, that's a wall. Build the wall. What do you mean? Don't touch a woman. That's not a problem, really. Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, get married. It's not that hard. Oh, you know, but I've got to do this, and I'm a teenager, and I'm young, and I got to... Yeah, listen to me. But again, I'm not going to argue with you, because again, you know, the command, the scripture is there. God says build your wall up here, and don't cross over that wall, and avoid that kind of thing. And just think about if people just would get married instead of acting like barnyard animals. I mean, just think, okay? Think about this. There wouldn't be the problem with AIDS. There wouldn't be the problem with other venereal diseases. There wouldn't be any babies born out of wedlock. You wouldn't have to worry about abortion anymore. Hello? Which is all it is a cover-up of sin. Try to smooth over the sin and hide the sin. I'm just saying, that's just one example. We need to understand this wall represents right. This wall represents, God says, here's how I want you to live inside this wall. And the wall protects you. And the wall is there to help you and protect you. It is no wonder that the enemy would attack that and would keep attacking it. And you know what? The enemy is going to keep after your walls too. And I remember getting saved when I first got saved. You know the story. My wife and I were hippies and our lifestyle was not a good lifestyle, and we were not headed in doing the things of the Lord. We had to build some walls up to protect us so that we would keep doing right. And we had to build some walls up, and it wasn't always easy. It wasn't always, fun as far as the way the world looks at it. But I thank God to this day that we built those walls. And I thank God to this day that we still have those same walls intact. You know, there's security in separation and the walls being built. We don't always like it because we're carnal. We like to do our own thing. But there is a way that seemeth right to a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And understand, you know, my way, I think of some things I did as a teenager, and any of those things could have led to death. They could have led to sorrow. They could have led to pain, and many of them did lead to those things. But God knows best, and God says clearly, there is a way that seemeth right. I mean, I like to do this. Well, I want to do this, and I want to do that. But thank God that wall's there. And thank God when you build those walls and you take some standards out of the scripture and you say, okay, I'm not going to cross over this. I'm not going to go past this. And I'm going to do, you know, and I'm going to do my very best to maintain this Bible conviction, and it'll protect you. And it will give you security as well. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man. The end thereof are the ways of death. Stay away from that which is going to result in death. We ought to avoid that which is going to... You know, it's amazing how with our children, we'll keep them away from poison. You know, you have a baby, you don't put poison out. Amen? You just don't do it. You know, if you have rats or something like that, you don't put the rat poison out where the baby can get to it. You're careful about that. You guard that. Well, same thing with separation. Same thing with building walls. Same thing with protecting your home. You stay away from those things that might bring on death. You don't do dangerous things. You don't flirt with death. You know, people like the result, but they just don't always like the means. And you know, we like it. Everybody loves it when we do a wedding and we say tonight will be today this will be their first kiss, and people say, oh, that's wonderful, that is so good, that's so great. And yet, teenager, you're slobbering on everybody you can find. We like it though. Oh, that's a great thing. That'd be a wonderful thing. Oh, I sure hope the person I marry, it's the first time they kiss me. Well, why are you kissing everybody? See, again, we like the result. We just don't like how to get there. We like it, but we don't like the means. And a lot of people like the results. Well, they look around and say, boy, you know, this person, that person, everything else, but they don't like the way it takes to get it. It's work, and building these walls was work, when it says when the wall was built. It's saying an awful lot. It's saying a lot about God's people here, and when you practice separation, you know, do you understand? Not many churches do anymore because it's not politically correct. It's just like yelling leprosy if a leper walks in. Can you imagine what kind of trouble that would get you into? What are you saying about that person? Well, I'm saying they're a leper, and God said that we're supposed to yell unclean. That's what I'm saying about it. Well, you might hurt their feelings. Well, at least I'm not going to let them kill everybody. Amen. Thank you, Steve. I mean, there's a reason for all these things, and there's a reason for separation, and it is to protect us. Somebody's got to yell out. Somebody's got to say this is dangerous. Somebody's got to say, you know, that biblically this is not right. Or that is not right, and that's what the wall is all about, you know. And you're safe as long as you stay behind it. By the way, isn't it's a blessing to have pure teenagers. There's not a lot of them around nowadays, but there are some. Amen. And by the way, those who are pure have less problems than those who aren't. You know that's true. I mean, even a young man who is pure, he is going to have less trouble than a young man who's not. That young man that's pure, he doesn't have to worry about the next phone call. He doesn't have to worry about the next doctor's visit. Do you understand? Folks who are who don't use drugs, they have a lot less problems than people who do use drugs. They have a lot less problems. I had some friends that used drugs, and I mean, they smoked dope and the whole thing, and I'm telling you, they have lots of problems, even to this day. People that aren't involved in pornography, they have less problems than people who are involved in it. People who aren't involved in it, they can carry on a conversation with someone who's the opposite sex, and their mind doesn't wander, and their eyes can look at their eyes, and they're not looking everywhere else. They actually can carry on a normal conversation. I'm just saying, all these, you know, separation, the wall, that wall, that's there to help. That wall is there to be a blessing. Here in our text, it says the wall is built, and that means that the people inside are safe. But again, you know, as long as the enemy's not inside, as long as the enemy is still on the outside. And, of course, we dealt with that last week. As long as you know, our young people, honestly, they hear this over and over and over. And I'll be honest, some of them climb the wall and take off and do their own thing. I would never try to argue that at all. Some, you know, they don't climb because mom and dad, you know, they're up on top and they're watching, so they dig under the wall. And they take off and do their own thing. I understand that. I'm not stupid. By the way, some of you parents are doing the same thing. You know, we take a stand. We preach about different things. And there's all kinds of people in this room, and I'm not saying I'm right. I'm just saying that somewhere along the line, you better develop some standards and some walls built up that will protect you and your family. Because unchecked, unguarded, we're going to destroy ourselves. Unguarded, we will destroy ourselves. We will destroy what we have. We'll destroy those that we love because, you know, we're prone to wander and go our own way. And our own way is going to get us in trouble. That's why the Bible, you know, we need the Bible to help us establish those standards. Verse 3, it gives some ideas. It says, I said to him, let not the gates of Jerusalem be opened until the sun be hot. Now, customarily in that day, they would open those gates when the sun came up. But you'll notice because of the danger, and I love this, they're saying, wait until the sun's hot. Not just at the break of day, but when the sun's hot, when the sun's up, when the light is shining brightly, when we can see who all's coming in and who all's going out, don't open those gates. Keep it shut. I like what it says. And while they stand by, let them shut the doors and bar them. You know, at nighttime, shut the doors, bar them. Why? That's why we built this wall. We don't want anything coming in. We don't want anybody going out. We want to keep everybody safe that's in here. We want them to know they're protected. And only when the heat of the day was come, they could open the doors. And by the way, there were people, they were going to watch those doors. And they were going to watch everything that came in. People, you know, preacher, you panic about this. You know, I've pastored a long time. I've watched a lot of people destroy themselves. And I agree, they have that right, I suppose. I suppose, you know, if you want to destroy yourself, you can destroy yourself. But it doesn't keep me from caring. I've said this, I've counseled teens many times, and I've said this, I don't get commission if you do right. Well, $10 bonus for the pastor. Ding! That one did right. It doesn't work that way. I don't get punished if you do wrong. Well, why do you care? Because I care. By the way, teenager, that's why your parents care too. I mean, you can't put a price on a person's life. And I love this because, again, they're very, very careful about the doors and what to do about those doors. Remember, there's an enemy out there that has done everything they can to try to destroy and keep those walls from being built. I like the heat of the day, the walls. Number two, the watch. And this is so important. Verse 1, it says, I'd set up the doors, and the porters and the singers and the Levites were appointed. Then I gave my brother Hananiah, and Hananiah, the ruler of the palace, charge over Jerusalem, for he was a faithful man and feared God above many. And it says, I said unto them, let not the gates of Jerusalem be opened until the sun be hot, and while they stand by, let them shut the doors and bar them and appoint watches of the inhabitants of Jerusalem, everyone in his watch, and everyone to be over against his house. A couple things about the watch. The wall's built. Doors are set. Gates are there. I mean, everything is done now. And again, you know, in your life, you need to take the Word of God and establish your walls. Amen? And you need to decide, you know, what will I let in? What will I let out? What will I do as far as establishing these rules for my life? You ought to have them in your life. Everybody should, based on what the Bible says. But now, once those walls are built, they have to be defended. And that's what the watch is all about. He says, appoint watches of the inhabitants of Jerusalem, everyone in his watch. And everybody is to watch those walls. Guard those walls. By the way, walls are useless without men to defend them. Absolutely useless. Walls without men to defend them, they'll come down. They'll be destroyed. guard them, and defend them. By the way, that means to enforce them. A law is no law unless it's enforced. And those walls, they're set. Okay, there's no moving them one way or the other now. They're set walls. That's how our conviction should be. That's the way a church should be. Look at all the people in a church. How easy it would be for... And by the way, none of us have the same opinions. None of us. You know, some of you still like the Detroit Lions. See? There you go. I mean, we have folks, they're going to hang with them all the way through the season. By the way, they didn't lose today. There you go. Somebody says, really? Yeah, they didn't play. But you know, we all have different opinions. Some people like different colors. Some people like things this way, that way, everything else. You know, we like all kinds of different things. But the walls are set as to, okay, here's what God says, and this is where we put our wall right here. Okay? This is right, that's wrong. This is the right thing, that is the wrong. Not because of somebody's opinion, but because we believe this is what God said. Because if we went by people's opinions, we'd be a mess. We'd have to have 20 different services, Brother Johns. You know, over in one room, we'd have rapping with the Rev. In another room, we'd have a drama going on. In another room, we'd have a sang going on. In another room, we'd have a rock group jamming for Jesus. In another room, we would have a help group. In another room, we'd have everybody with 400 different versions of the Bible, and they'd all be discussing what it might mean. I mean, do you understand? There's got to be a set wall. Otherwise, it's very, very confusing. There has to be a right and a wrong. There has to be a love for everybody on all sides, but there's got to be that set place. Boy, here's a good note to take on the watch. Those who have built walls are the most ready and willing to defend those walls. I guarantee. You know, I've built some walls. We started a church in Bern, Indiana. By the way, as the pastor of Faith Baptist Church in Bern, Indiana, I'm telling you, you watch things different than other people. When you have prayed for every chair, you've prayed for everything, you've prayed for every teaching, every message, you've stayed up the late night, you've spent the hour. I'm going to tell you something. You are much quicker to defend those walls than that person that just started coming. Having built some walls myself, I'm real quick to defend walls. Having put forth effort myself over the years of a ministry, I'm really ready and willing to defend. I get frustrated with people who are just kind of, well, I don't know. It makes me wonder if you've ever built a wall. Because if you ever built one, you don't ever want to see it come down. You grieve when people climb over it. You weep when people go under it. You just can't even imagine why. It is my responsibility. It is my staff's responsibility. It's your responsibility to defend our walls. And that's exactly what Nehemiah is saying to the people here. But hey, he didn't have any problem with those people because they helped build the walls. That's why, you know, those who don't get on the same page, you know, they struggle sometimes. They have a hard time with building walls and defending the walls. They have a hard time when a Tobiah comes along and the preacher says, "Don't listen to Tobiah!" And the people, he's not such a bad guy. Hey, if he's trying to tear down my wall, he's a bad guy. Amen? I don't even care about his lack of walls. That's his business, but don't mess with my walls. Amen. Oh, that's my responsibility. That's what God holds me accountable for. Amen. And you know, that's not something I take lightly. You shouldn't take it lightly either. We should be willing to defend. But again, if you help build them, and if you've built some in your life, that's why, you know, if you have standards in your life and you've decided, okay, here's what we will do, here's what we won't do, here's what our family will do, then anyone that attacks that, you need to be ready to defend. That doesn't mean choke them. It just means, look, don't mess with my walls. There have been times I've had to tell my parents, don't mess with my walls. There have been times we've had to tell other relatives, don't mess with our walls. Okay, these are our walls. Now, if you don't like our walls, that's fine, but don't mess with our walls. Okay, sometimes that's what you have to do. And by the way, those who didn't help build the walls, you need to watch them. Real careful. Because they don't care quite as much about the walls. Amen? And that's, you know, I think about the Spanish ministry, and that's one thing Brother Chase, you know, he will deal with that. Now, I'm still the pastor. It's a ministry here under Berean Baptist Church, but Brother Chase will have to watch that like a hawk as he builds a work. And there's nothing more exciting than building a work and building the walls around that work. But it can be... It'll be under attack from day one. And it'll go something like this. Brother Chase will have a service, and there'll be two or three people, maybe they'll come, and they'll say, El Brother Chasito. And then they'll say something like, well, here's the way we used to do it, and why don't we do it? And Brother Chase is going to say, you know, that's a wonderful idea, but you know what? Here's what we're going to do. And all of a sudden, there will be somebody say, where's his love? Where's his compassion? Well, his love's in the protection that the walls give. Amen. Amen. See, here's the thing. Notice who he gives responsibility to. I gave my brother Hananiah, and then Hananiah, the ruler of the palace, charge. I gave them charge. Nehemiah is going to go back. Nehemiah's given somebody else some responsibility. I gave them charge over Jerusalem. Notice, for he was a faithful man. I'll be honest with you. I trust faithful people. I don't trust people who aren't faithful. That doesn't mean I don't like them. Doesn't mean I'm against them. I'm for them. I just trust somebody who's faithful. What do you mean? Well, I mean that if somebody's faithful, they will faithfully guard my wall. If somebody's faithful, they will faithfully do what they are told to do. If they're not faithful, they may let some things in that wall or behind that wall that we don't want there. He was a faithful man. And here's another thing about this guy, and feared God above many. And that's pretty important too. He was a faithful man, and he feared God. And you know, these leaders and these helpers, you'll notice there were porters, there were singers, there were Levites. They were specific. They had specific jobs. And you know, God does that as well in guarding His walls. That's why we have Sunday school teachers. We have junior church leaders. We have people we have deacons, and we have staff members and all those people. And they should be faithful, and they should be people who fear God. And if they are that, why, they can guard those walls. And they will guard those walls. And they will protect those walls. You'll notice here that everyone was to be over against his house, watching the walls. In my mind, I envisioned somebody who would watch the walls, but their house was here. And I like the reference to the home that is made there, because so much comes in through our homes that is dangerous for the wall. Psalm 127, verse 1. And again, I didn't write any of this. God did. Psalm 127, verse 1. Go ahead and turn there. It's a good verse for you to have. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. And again, you know, the Lord needs to build our home. And otherwise, everything is in vain. Because so much, you know, the walls are no good if we open the door of our home to sin. That's why you need to be careful what's on your television. You need to be careful what's on your computer. You need to be careful what kind of literature you have in your home. You need to set some standards and stick with them. And guard it. And guard it. Just like here. And then we come to number three, and that's the work. We've seen the wall, the watch, and the work. And really, that's the thing that stood out to me as I was reading this, the work. You understand, our purpose is not to build walls. That's not why God left us here. Now follow me. I mean, I'm an independent, fundamental, radical, nut Baptist preacher. But my purpose is not to build walls. That is not why God left me. The wall is a tool to protect. My purpose is to fill up the city. The city was large and great, but the people were few therein. We got this big city, but we don't have very many people in here. We got nice walls, but there's not a whole lot of people. Verses 5 and on through verses 73, which we'll look at in a couple of weeks, quickly. They do a genealogy just to kind of get an idea who all is here. The wall was a tool to protect. The purpose was to fill up the city, get people inside. And there's still room, according to verse 4. And I got news for you, there's still room in heaven. There's still room to get people saved. There's still room. You know, the wall will show somebody how to be saved and how to go to heaven. Saved and on your way to heaven. And then the wall will protect you as you separate from the world so you can grow. If you're living a worldly existence, you're not going to grow. You're not. You can't grow and just be a worldly person. It's you got to start getting away from that stuff, and the two kind of work together. You grow, and because again, you know, I know what I'm talking about. I came from that, and so many out here came from the same kind of thing. And separation is crucial in the Christian life, and we have to get away from those things. But understand, the wall's not the end. The wall is a means to the end. The job, the purpose, the work that we do is get people inside. It's to get people inside. A building is not an end. A building is a means to an end. Amen. Never forget that. Whatever you do, because one of these days we're gonna build a building. We really will. I might be 90 years old, but someday we're gonna build a building. But that building we'll be excited about. You have built buildings. Many of the folks in this room have built these buildings. And boy, there's nothing more exciting. And I've had part in building buildings and remodeling buildings. And there's nothing more exciting. But all this isn't the end. We didn't build a building so it could be empty. You build a building so you can fill it up. And you build the walls so you can get people inside. See, the purpose is precious souls. By the way, that wall is not to even scare them away. That wall isn't even to be used with an unsaved person. The wall is to help you and protect you and keep you clean and keep you pure so that you can tell people about Jesus. And by the way, when I go soul winning, I don't tell somebody, hey, can I tell you about my wall? Never have. Never will. I say, can I tell you about Jesus? Amen. Some of you folks, you got it all wrong. Honestly, you got it all backwards. You know, somebody comes to the door and they got a cigarette or they're hiding it behind their back, about to catch their shirt on fire. You know? And you say, well, I see you smoke, you heathen. They may be a heathen, but you're an idiot. Don't tell them about your wall. Tell them about Jesus. You know, you get to somebody's house, and many times I've actually had people offer me a beer. I don't say, "You wicked, vile, don't you know I'm the man of God?" I don't point them to my wall. I tell them about Jesus. You know, my wall is something that protects me. They need to know about Jesus. They need to hear about Jesus and what he can do for them. And I'm telling you, that's how you fill up the building. That's how you fill up. Every now and then, you know, somebody, "Well, you're going to run off, or you preach too hard," and people get mad. I'm sorry, you're wrong. Because I was that person. I was that guy. My wife and I sat in the service as uncomfortable as anybody could possibly be as that preacher preached. And as he hit every sin that I even, sins I hadn't committed but I wanted to, he hit them. And my wife was one that sat in the service and tried as hard as she could to make her skirt longer. I tried as hard as I could to tuck my hair up as he preached about men having long hair. And I did, I mean, there were times I would say to her, I'd whisper and say, "We're not coming back again." But we did. We did. Thank God for that kind of preaching. Thank God. Thank God for that kind of preaching. Thank God, though, for somebody who said, "You know what? Let me show you Jesus. Jesus loves you, and he died for you, and he'll save you." And you know, once they get saved and get behind that wall will protect them. It'll protect them. And it'll protect their children if they'll let it. But again, the wall is not the purpose. The purpose, hey, the city's large and great. The people are few. The houses are not builded. Hey, let's get them in. Let's get them in. Brother Chase brought a devotional on, I think it was on Friday, and he was all excited. I don't know. I think walking here from his home is getting him all fired up early in the morning. The cooler he gets, the more fired up he seems to be. And I think he's jogging part of the way now. It's getting cooler. But he came in. He gave everybody a tract. Said, "Give this out. Give this out. Give this out." I thought, you know, I wonder if he'll give me one. Sure enough, he gave me a tract. And then I found out he gave them to all the students. And the guys were in Wendy's after the soccer game. And they were talking about, "Did you give out your tract? Give out your tract? Give out your tract?" You know what? That's what we need to do. We need to give out tracts. We need to talk to people. We need to bring them to church. We need to tell them about Jesus. And we need to get them in here and get them saved. And when they get saved, they can get behind the wall. And the wall will protect them. And you know what? I don't know of anybody who's been behind the wall that has their life is pure. Their life is right. They're doing as best they can what God wants them to do, then say, "I wish I wouldn't done it." And especially on their deathbed, they always say, "Man, I'm glad. I am so glad I did what God said to do." Let's all bow our heads, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed.